Welcome to the Unfolding Podcast, a space where we explore what it looks like to really trust yourself. Say no without guilt and live your life like it actually belongs to you. I am Erica Vohl, a decision mentor and inner trust guide, and I help women in midlife untangle from the life patterns of shape-shifting and keeping everyone else happy, claim how they are uniquely designed to make decisions, and understand their unique strengths. Using human design as a lens, we clear the noise of conditioning so their no feels powerful and their yes feels true, and they can move forward without self-doubt, guilt, or the pressure to prove anything. On this show, we have honest conversations about self-trust, boundaries, energy, and identity, especially for women in midlife who are done living by the shoulds and second-guessing themselves. If you've taken every personality test, followed the recommended path, and still can't shake that feeling that you've been spending your whole life trying to fit in, when what you really wanted was to belong, you are in the right place. You'll hear stories, insights, and tools rooted in human design, coaching, and real life. Not to tell you what to do like another self-help book, but to help you really hear yourself so you can stop overthinking and start making decisions that feel grounded, clear, and true. We are in the middle of the summer of self-love, and I am having so much fun. I hope you are too. In this episode, I am highlighting three more women who are sharing their stories so that you can get to know them better. This episode is in the form of me reading the Substack article that was posted. You can find the link in the show notes. Unfiltered, Sam, Tammy, and Michelle on self-love in midlife. This summer of self-love started very randomly from one comment Michelle Marie Nyers made in a masterclass. You can read the full story. There's a link in the article. I let it simmer for less than a day, and I knew that this needed to be the summer of self-love, exploring women's complicated relationships with themselves, as well as the self-criticism that we learn early on. The women who are sharing their stories as part of this series don't have it all figured out, and each one of them is on a path to a deeper, more loving relationship with themselves. Each woman shares an authentic version of herself, not just the aspirational one that we have been sold for years. They share what self-love looks like on the hard days, what human design changed for them, and what they are still working on. I'm highlighting each of them a few at a time so that you can get to know them better. Their deeper stories will be woven through future articles, and you'll get to meet them through Substack Lives throughout the summer. Everyone has their own unique human design, which shapes a story that only they can tell. And what ties so many of us together is that loving ourselves is a journey. We're on different continents, and still the threads connect us. This article is part three, profiling three women who said yes. Dr. Sam Graber, who writes Strong Over Skinny, Tammy McCrory, who writes Unshrinking You, Michelle Marie Nyers, who writes The Sacred Art of Becoming Her. Dr. Sam Graber, 1, tell us a little about yourself and where you are in life right now. Right now, I feel like I'm in a season of paying closer attention. I've been learning to notice my own rhythms more and to pay attention to what my body and energy are actually telling me instead of expecting myself to operate exactly the way I always have. That's meant letting go of some old expectations and becoming more curious instead of immediately assuming I'm doing something wrong. What's interesting is that the things I find myself navigating personally often become the things I end up talking about and sharing with other women. I feel like I'm stepping into my sage season, embracing my inner crone. This season feels quieter in some ways and more intentional in others. I still care deeply. I still have goals. But I'm less interested in proving something and more interested in creating a life that actually feels good to live. 2, what's one thing about your human design that changed how you see yourself? One of the biggest shifts from learning about my human design was realizing that something I had interpreted as a flaw may have actually been pertinent information. For years, I thought I needed to become more consistent, more linear, more certain, more like the people around me. I spent a lot of energy trying to override my natural rhythms because I assumed discipline meant ignoring myself. Human design gave me a different lens. Instead of asking, how do I make myself fit? I started asking, what happens if I trust how I am built? That shift didn't remove self-doubt overnight, but it softened the constant self-correction and created more permission to work with myself instead of against myself. 3. What does self-love actually look like in your daily life? Not the aspirational version, but what you actually do. Honestly, self-love looks a lot more ordinary than I thought it would. These days, it looks like paying attention sooner instead of waiting until I'm completely depleted. It looks like eating enough, sleeping more, moving in ways that feel supportive, and not treating rest like something I have to earn. It also looks like catching myself when I start slipping into old patterns, thinking I need to push harder, be more disciplined, or that I should be handling everything better. I'm getting better at asking, what do I actually need right now? Instead of immediately trying to override whatever I'm feeling. Some days, self-love is making a nourishing meal. Some days, it's changing my plans. Some days, it's reminding myself that not every dip in energy means that I'm doing something wrong. More than anything, it's become less about fixing myself and more about staying connected to myself. 4. What are you still working on when it comes to loving yourself? I'm still working on not assuming that every change means that I need to work harder. There are still moments when my energy feels different. I'm not as productive as I expected to be. I catch a glimpse of myself in a photo, or I feel less capable than I think I should, and my instinct is to want to solve it immediately. But I've been learning that not everything needs fixing. Sometimes there's information in those moments. Sometimes my body needs something different. Sometimes expectations need updating more than habits do. That's probably one of the places where my personal life and when I end up sharing overlap the most. I tend to talk about the things that I'm actively learning myself. I'm still practicing being curious before becoming critical, asking, what is this telling me instead of what am I doing wrong? And I'm still learning that giving myself more grace doesn't mean caring less. It just means trusting that I don't have to be at full capacity at all the time to be okay. Dr. Sam's Substack publication, Strong Over Skinny. Tammy McCrory, 1. Tell us a little about yourself and where you are in life right now. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist and mental performance coach, and these days my work is centered around helping women who have spent years being the strong one finally experience what it feels like to stop bracing for life. Ironically, I'm in a season of unshrinking too. Building a business that reflects who I actually am instead of who I thought I needed to be has required just as much inner work as strategy. Less proving, more trusting, less performing, more becoming. I don't have it all figured out, but I trust myself far more than I used to. That has changed everything. 2. What's one thing about your human design that changed how you see yourself? Discovering I have a line to a vibe of tribe completely reframed my relationship with visibility. For years, I thought I needed to push harder, market louder, and constantly prove my expertise. Instead, I realized my greatest influence comes when I am deeply immersed in my work and allow the right people to recognize me naturally. As a 4-6, relationships have always been the foundation of everything meaningful in my life. Human design gave me permission to stop chasing opportunities and start trusting the ones that arrive through genuine connection. It felt less like learning something new and more like remembering who I had always been. What does self-love actually look like in your daily life? Not the aspirational version, but what you actually do. Self-love looks surprisingly ordinary. It's noticing when my nervous system is asking for a pause before my mind convinces me to keep pushing. It's taking a walk instead of forcing another productive hour. It's using fascia maneuvers, breath work, or hypnosis before I try to think my way out of anxiety. Most of all, it's catching myself when I start measuring my worth by what I accomplished that day. I'm learning that my value doesn't fluctuate with my productivity. That practice has been far more healing than any morning routine. 4. What are you still working on when it comes to loving yourself? I'm still unwinding the belief that being responsible means carrying everything. The inner critic still likes to whisper that I should be doing more, growing faster, helping everyone, or holding it all together. It especially shows up when I'm tired. The difference now is that I recognize its voice much sooner. Instead of believing it, I get curious. I come back to my body. I remind myself that safety isn't something I have to earn. For me, self-love isn't becoming someone who never struggles. It's becoming someone who no longer abandons herself when she does. Tammy's Substack publication, Unshrinking You. Michelle Marie Nyers, 1. Tell us a little about yourself and where you are in life right now. I had a birthday recently, and I am beginning my 57th trip around the sun. A couple of years ago, before I turned 55, I began drafting a version of my life at 60 and beyond. I nicknamed it my 55 plus health span plan. Not longevity, but health span. It's not the number of years I get that I'm concerned about anymore, but rather the quality of those years. My her at 60 and beyond has a renewed vitality and vibrancy that fuels her purpose and passions. The company I started in 2016, Juicy Conscious Living LLC, is celebrating its 10th anniversary this year. Some would say I'm in the minority to have a small business that's still standing. Just like me, it's still deciding what it's becoming next. One of the beautiful gifts of midlife is the clarity of purpose that comes about who you are and what purpose you are meant to fulfill in this lifetime. Not magically arriving on your doorstep one day, but because of the compounding effect of you being more of who you authentically are. I feel pretty content most days, but I also carry a big vision of my life and building my body of work. So sometimes I can suffer occasional moments of impatience where I just want everything to happen right now. 2. What's one thing about your human design that changed how you see yourself? Hands down, it would be the realization that my body is perfectly designed, just as it is, to help me fulfill the purpose I am here for. And so is yours. I'm convinced that this was a divinely delivered message that came in the form of 2 questions posed to me while I was intently studying my natal design one ordinary Sunday afternoon. I recognized the message as pure truth being delivered to me, an inner knowing that the statement was truer than any belief I'd ever held about my body. And from that day forward, it has been the dominant belief I hold without any conscious effort on my part. Now expressions like my body is a sacred temple and my perceived flaws are blessings with a purpose are living, breathing beliefs that govern my behavior and attitude towards my body. All this and I started wearing shorts and showing my legs again after decades of covering them up. 3, what does self-love actually look like in your daily life? Not the aspirational version, but what you actually do. One of my favorite practices involves slowing everything down, especially the movements of my body. This causes me to be fully present in my body and oftentimes leaves me in awe about all the things it makes possible for me. When you slow your pace, the most mundane things suddenly become a lot more interesting. Sometime during the weekend, usually on Saturdays, I have something on my calendar called the Love My Body Date, where I literally have a 2-hour date with my body. This usually involves paying attention to the small things that sometimes get ignored during a busy week. Like taking the time to properly shave my legs or sitting with my tweezers and plucking every last unwanted hair on my chin. I'll also do things that otherwise get overlooked or forgotten about, like putting a warm compress over my eyes for several minutes or doing a deep conditioning treatment for my hair. It also looks like making 90% or more of my meals at home, using whole foods, fresh ingredients, and keeping things super simple. My sweet spot is when I can make something delicious with 5 ingredients or less. This way, I know exactly what I'm putting into my body for fuel and for pleasure. I've also become extremely vigilant about what I allow into my energy field, including people, entertainment, media, and the like. I guard my mind and my field of consciousness as best as I can by paying attention to the inputs. I've learned to listen to my body's signals that let me know if we are consuming something that's not good for us, or if we're overindulging in something when just a small amount would have been fine. Hello, chocolate. I allow myself to rest when my body tells me it needs a break. 4. What are you still working on when it comes to loving yourself? Detaching my self-worth from how much money I make, This is a deeply ingrained aspect of my subconscious programming that I am still transforming. There's also a part of me still healing the wound called, I'm never the one who was chosen. This repeating pattern has shown up in my romantic relationship for decades. The mind chatter is so much less than it used to be when I look at a video recording or image of me that seems unflattering to me. I've come such a long way with this one. In the past, my immediate reaction used to be disgust and shame. I never wanted other people to see a bad photo of me because of what I thought they'd be saying or thinking. Sadly, I have years of my life that were never documented, i.e., no pictures of me, because I refused to be in photos. Michelle's Substack publication, The Sacred Art of Becoming Her. What's coming this summer? This entire summer, we're exploring self-love from many different angles through women's real experiences. Because our inner voice is just as important as our outer voice, and when we feel good inside, it always shows up in how we show up in so many different ways. Some of what's coming, shame and self-love, the shoulds and self-love, where self-love shows up in the human design chart, and learning to love yourself using your own design. I'll also be sharing my own experiences along the way. This summer is personal for me too. The second half of my life is about learning to love myself and helping others do the same. Not just embodying it, but helping other women see how they can love themselves too. And I've started to see it play out in real life. In starting to use human design as a way to love ourselves rather than as another reason to fix ourselves. Look for more conversations with these women and future profiles throughout the summer. These conversations are just getting started, and I'm so glad you're here for them. If this episode resonated with you, I would be so grateful if you click the plus sign to subscribe and share it with a friend. You can also find me on Substack, where I publish articles, host workshops, and share more about human design and midlife. Thanks for joining me, and be well.